Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, the throne of the Lamb, through the middle of the street and of the city. Also, on either side of the river that was flowing down the street was the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer, everyone should love this verse, no longer will there be anything accursed. But the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb will be in it, and His servants will worship Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. This last chapter in Revelation shows the seed of God's purpose, which started in Genesis, come to full bloom. There is a consistent prophetic thread that stretches from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end. It's a very central theme, and honestly, I don't think you can interpret the kingdom of God and Jesus' coming, your salvation and your purpose on the planet, unless you get this thread, unless you get this consistent message. The Bible boldly proclaims that God is raising up a human king to crush all of His enemies and to set up an eternal, global, spiritual, and natural kingdom on planet Earth. This is what your Bible says. Your Bible, let me say it a couple different ways. Your Bible reveals, and I'm going to unpack it for you, it reveals that God is going to raise up a man, and that man would be a king. We understand, and I'll show you, it's a Jewish man that's the king, who is going to come literally to the planet. He's going to destroy spiritual enemies and physical enemies and establish a one-world government that will endure for eternity. This is a radical message. This Bible does not reveal to you that God came with an idea for a few that might fit into part of their life called Christianity. And you could do this on Sundays and hang out and kind of read your Bible when you want to and da-da-da-da-da. That is such a low view that man has done to what this Bible's about. This Bible is about a God who's all good and has all authority, who has real living enemies, both spiritual in the heavenly realms, Lucifer, and probably a billion angels, and has real earthly enemies, the kings of this earth, and everyone that rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has real enemies that hate Him, that don't want Him to rule or reign. And what your Bible tells you, it's radical. It's radical. It tells you that God's not going to allow this to be this way all the time. He's going to send a man. He's going to send a king. And this king is going to come forth and He's going to establish the rule of God on planet Earth. It's going to be a violent, global event. It's going to rush in. Now listen, some of you are already going to get nervous for what I'm saying. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you, I don't know, a handful of Bible passages. I'm literally just scratching the surface of the reality of what I'm talking about here. Your Bible is full, mostly, of the revelation, the reality of what I'm talking to you about this morning. All your prophecies are centered in this reality. God's got a man. He's got a man. We find out it's a God-man. Wow! It's a God-man. He's a Jewish God-man. And He's going to come literally and reign over the nations, and they'll all serve Him right here on planet Earth. We are trying to tell people, this is a Samism, to beware of the Gnostication of Christianity. What I mean by that is that one of the central heresies in the New Testament, it's why the epistles of John were written, was against Gnostics. The Gnostics was a religious spiritual group that rose up and, yes, talked about Jesus, but they believed that all flesh was evil and all spirit was good. So they denied that Jesus came in the flesh. They denied that He was beaten, ripped apart, had a human body, you know, had to go to the bathroom, had to live, had to sleep. They denied all of that. And when they did that, they disconnected the covenant of God and the literal blood that had to be shed by the Lord Jesus. It was a horrific attack upon the church. Many fell for this and said, yeah, we don't want to think about real Jesus being beat, real human. How could a human be God? I mean, it's stunning, honestly, what we're talking about. And so they bought into this. And so the Antichrist spirit is associated with this in the epistle of 1 John. And he's saying that you know that a spirit's from God. Here's how you test it. You test it by confessing that Jesus came in the flesh. You see, Jesus was fully God and fully man. He was spiritual and he was natural. His kingdom is spiritual and it is natural. Many live today thinking that your life in the natural now is going to pass away, will die, will end up on a cloud somewhere, floating, playing a harp, singing to Jesus, whatever, without real bodies and real earth. That's not your Bible. Your Bible tells you that in the end, Revelation 21:1, that the new heaven and the new earth are going to come together, just like Genesis 1:1. The kingdom of God is spiritual and it is physical. It's natural. It's really earthy real. Listen, everybody, this is the planet that you'll live on for eternity. Right here. Not the way that it is now, but transformed and reformed by the glory of the warrior king. He's going to come down and he's going to fix this planet. This planet shouldn't have the curse in it. It shouldn't have death. It shouldn't have the animosity and the killing and the raping and the pillaging that's happening on the planet. And what we want to do and what I want to do in my mission this morning with you is this. Simple. I want to envision you with the issue of a biblical Jesus. Jesus of the Bible is not a guy in a robe walking around with flowers hoping you'll snuggle with him. Listen, the Jesus of the Bible is first and foremost the authoritative Son of Man, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one who will judge all the nations and whom everyone must worship. Does everybody understand that? Every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Here's the good news. I'm preaching my whole sermon without going to the... The good news is, this is a good king. This is the king, listen, who takes over everything. Kings who do not submit to them, he kills them right in front of him. He casts demons out. He casts the devil out from the planet. He will literally execute rebellious governors and kings. This is your Jesus. And here's the good news. He loves you. He loves you. He died and shed his blood so he could populate this kingdom that lives forever. He's giving witnesses. It's me and you. We're preaching to the earth. We're preaching to the earth the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is this. There's a king. The whole earth is in rebellion to him. This king is coming to reign forever. And get this. He loves you enough to remove your rebellious heart and pay for your sins and to put his kingly spirit inside you. That's good news, everybody. I want to apologize publicly as an elder in the body of Christ for a reframing of Jesus and a reframing of love that's based in humanism that makes Jesus a sympathetic guy that doesn't want people to have pain. I'm so sorry. It's not the Bible. It's not the Bible. Your Bible is full of a revelation of a real God who's really righteous, really holy, and in his consistency to himself, must destroy everything that's not. He loves the heavens, he loves the earth, and he's going to drive everything from them that's in rebellion to him. Listen, I'm fairly committed to the obedience of my children. I cannot take talking back. It will not happen. I cannot take their stubborn refusal and attitude. I mean, talk to my children about how that goes down in my house. And listen, I'm weak. I'm a struggling human. If I feel that way about obedience, and by the way, I want my kids obeying, not just so I get my way. I want their hearts free. I want them living free. And I know rebellion kills human beings. So that's why I discipline my children. I don't want them dead. Okay? I don't want them to do that. If I have that zeal, and I'm not even expressing to you my zeal about the obedience of my children, if I have that, can you imagine what's in the heart of the living God? What's in the heart of the living God? I'm sorry for messages that came out, reframed gospels that allowed you to be a rebel and still be in Jesus Christ. It's not possible. I'm sorry. It's just a reframing of the gospel. It's another Jesus. And it's not true and it's not real, and I'm so sorry. You should be filled with the fear of the Lord and with awe and the love of the Lord, both. In fact, you can't understand His love if you don't understand His zeal for holiness. You don't know what He did on that cross and how much He loves us as rebels, and He's doing. It's an amazing thing. The Scriptures, from the beginning, lay this reality out. 6,000 years ago, Adam, we see God on the creation days, an earth that's in trouble. It's dark and void and got trouble. We see Him make a man in His image, and He commissions him, you remember it, in 26, 27, 28, He commissions him to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill, subdue, and rule. We see that God's intention was to fill the earth with a man and his race that would rule and reign on the planet, filling it with His image and His glory. We see that clearly through Genesis. Adam would have been, in a way, the first king and the only king, if you will, with a whole bunch of kings all over the planet. If he had not fallen, imagine, billions of people, innocent, spreading the Garden of Eden all over planet Earth, subduing and ruling over the enemy. This earth would have been awesome. The plan didn't go that way, as you know. God had a global plan through man, through Adam. 5,000 years ago, a guy named Noah's born. He, at 500 years old, gets a call from the Lord. Make a boat. I'm so grieved I've made these human beings. They've been living before me for 1,500 years, multiplying these evil human beings. And I want to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm so grieved. I'm going to wipe out the planet. I'm going to bring a judgment. Now, I don't know if any of you studied what went on there, but there's literally, it's not 100 people on the planet at that point. Because of the way Genesis 5 people are living forever and having multiple wives, I'm telling you, the conservative estimates are that there were 5 to 7 billion people on the planet at the flood. Some people think 17 billion. Can you imagine that? Now, we don't know. We don't know. But I'm telling you, there's a bunch of people on the planet. And God, in His holiness and zeal for righteousness and love, released a global flood that saved only 8 human beings out of that. Now, there are people grappling with this, and you need to grapple with it. You need to grapple with it because people are writing books. The Rob Bells and McLarens and those kinds of people are writing books that this was a genocidal God who is not the God that we know in the New Testament. Listen, they don't understand God. God is a God of mercy, but He's a God of judgment. He loves the planet. He loves His glory enough to where He releases that judgment. We see a global judgment 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago. The Lord draws out a man from those generations left. The 8 guys, there's the 4 guys and their wives. They have babies. And then Abraham's called out. And we find out 4,000 years ago that God's making a nation. He's going to make a man and a nation and cut a covenant. And He said, your seed is going to bless all the nations. I have a global plan. I have a global plan in the midst of all this that's going on. In that global plan, we see the Jewish nation raise up. We see a Joshua raised up. Read the book of Joshua, and you've got to deal with it. Because Jesus is the greater Joshua. The book of Joshua is a man with one nation, with the seed of Jesus in them, that is called in to cleanse, literally, Israel, the land over there. Go in, and I want you to destroy Jericho. AI. The Gideons. Now listen, some of you, I hope you don't think I am a sadomasochist who likes the bloody blah, blah, blah. I'm just dealing with reality. I'm just dealing with reality. My Bible maybe lists the most violent stories on the planet. My Bible does. Global death, except for 8 people. Joshua in that, going in and cleansing. Jesus will do this in the end time. It says in 3,000 years ago then, a king comes, David. And David begins, listen, to prophesy and to be in the Spirit. He's a king, but he's a prophet. Acts chapter 2 calls him a prophet. And your psalms are more than just comfort books to get through the day. Your psalms are prophetic books that are whispering and speaking about the coming of a global king. Did you know that? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is one of those psalms. David wrote 100 to 125 of the psalms. Let me give you a glimpse into one of these. Watch. Why do the nations rage, David writes, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves up, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Tell me who the Lord is here. The Lord is the Father, the Ancient of Days. And who's His anointed? It's Jesus. We'll find out in Psalms 110 that David, I'm not the anointed one. It's His anointed. The kings of the earth are rallying against Him. They're saying, verse 3, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord holds the rebellious kings in derision. Then He will speak to them in His wrath, and He'll terrify them in fury. The Father God, listen. He'll say to them, as for me, verse 6, I set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Where is that, everyone? Where is Zion, the holy hill of God? It's in Jerusalem. This is what the Father God, is everybody getting this? This is prophetic what's going to happen. The kings of the earth keep raging through the generations. Rebellion, rebellion, we love oil, we love money, we love power, we love evil, we love whatever. The Father looks at them and says, listen, I'm telling you something. I'm going to set my king on a holy hill in Zion. I'm bringing my king, and He's coming. Verse 7, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. This is the baptism of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, the firstborn from among the dead. Listen to verse 8. Ask of me, and I'll make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. Who said that? Everybody keep thinking, we're having a Bible study here. Do we have it up here? Yeah. Who said verse 8? Who said ask of me? The Father, the Ancient of Days. Who'd He say it to? He said it to Jesus. This did not happen in David's lifetime. Jesus, what a request. It's not like, ask me for a good day or ask me for 40 years. Ask me for the nations. I'm begging you. Just ask me. Did Jesus do it, everybody? You better betcha. The Son of God said to the Father, the nations, I want them. Verse 9, the Father says to the Son, you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Who's going to do that, everybody? Who? Come on, keep talking to me. Who's going to break with a rod of iron and dash to pieces like potter the nations? Who? Jesus. Why does He have to? Does He want to do that? I don't think it's His first intention. He has to do it because rebels own the real estate right now. He's prophesying, saying they will not let go. They're going to worship themselves. They're going to worship sensuality. They're going to say, we don't want your rule. Listen, youth. Listen, youth. I'm telling you the most important thing about the Bible right now. An interaction has happened between the Son and the Father. And the Father has said, you're going to get the nations, but it's going to take a rod. Verse 10, now therefore, O kings, the Father shifts to the kings of the earth. Be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, which means to bow down, kiss His ring, kiss His feet. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled. And there's your Jesus. Here's what the Father's saying. Listen, kings. You know, what's the guy's name? Abdimajab and Obama Bob and, you know, whoever England is and whoever, it's everyone, 262 nations. This is a warning to the kings of the earth. Is everybody with me? Literal kings. You must bow. Be wise. Kiss the Son. Because He's not a guy that just started a religion that we go to on Sunday mornings. This king is coming back. And I'm telling you, He's got a short fuse. That's what it says at the end of that verse. Quickly, His zeal will be kindled. And He will come back because He's jealous for the Father's glory. David speaks of this in Psalms 110. I'm not going to have time to go there. But it says again, this king's coming. He's sitting at the right hand of majesty. He's got these godly ones. It's the church. It prophesies about the church in Psalms 110. You got to go read Psalms 110. And then at the end of it, He'll say, you know, everyone that did not receive, bring them before me. And then there's an execution. Daniel prophesies about 600 years before Jesus, that there's going to be a stone that's cut out by no human hand in Daniel 2, and it's going to strike the kingdoms of this earth. And that stone will grow and become a mountain that fills the whole earth. In Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14. Everybody look up here, please. You need to know as a Christian, Daniel 7, 13 and 14. You really need to know it. I saw, Daniel says, he's an 80-year-old man. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like, what's the phrase there? The Son of Man. You know Jesus' favorite phrase for himself in the Gospels is the Son of Man. It's used 80 times. Every time Jesus is saying, I'm the Son of Man, he's saying, I'm the guy in Daniel 7, 13 and 14. You need to know that. What is this guy? It's a human. And he came, this human, is brought before the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him, this man, was given dominion, glory, kingdom, that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him, and that his dominion would last forever. This literally happened post the resurrection, after Jesus resurrected, but before he said, all authority in heaven and earth is given me. In Matthew 28, 18. Jesus went, was escorted before the Father God, and given to him was authority over all the nations. Jesus is not only paid by his blood for every human being on the planet, but he has authority over every human being on the planet. Do you know that? He's paid for them, and he has authority over them. Let me go quickly here. Zechariah in 14:9 says that there's one king over the earth. John the Baptist shows up and begins to preach that Jesus is going to come, and it's a kingdom. Here comes the kingdom. He's going to baptize people with spirit, and he's going to baptize people with fire. You need to keep that in context. The fire is the book of Revelation. The spirit is the church age. Jesus starts saying things in his parables, Matthew 13. I'm not going to have time to go through this. But he'll talk about this age is like the Son of Man sowing seed and there's sons of God. It's the devil sowing seeds and there's sons of the devil. And the very end of the age, I'm going to come back and I'm going to send angels out and they're going to harvest. And by the way, they're going to take first out who, Bill? They're going to take the wicked out first. The righteous go out second. The wicked, Jesus is going to do a global event where he's going to come and harvest the earth. Luke 19, this is Jesus talking about himself. Oh, please endure everyone in the room. Have a stomach for this. Because actually this will stir your passion for evangelism like nothing but will. Honestly, when you get it in the right mode, then we're not just trying to make people comfortable for eternity. We're trying to get people right with a holy king. That's how we preach the gospel. Jesus at the end of his ministry says in Luke 19, says that there is a, this parable is like the kingdom of God. A nobleman went to a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. And then in returning, he gave 10 of his servants, the minas, and you remember it. They've got a steward. Those are disciples. Engage in business until I come. Jesus is the one who's come from heaven to earth. He discipled. He left stewardship. Now he's gone back to heaven. And that's what it says here. And he goes away and he leaves the servants. Verse 14. But the citizens of planet earth, the citizens of that country hated him, and they sent a delegation and said, we do not want you to rule over us. Does that not sound like your planet? He comes back and he gives rewards for the minas that are given. And then verse 27, the end of the parable. This is Jesus, not the one of the prophets. He says, but as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Matthew 24, 29 and 31, Jesus says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear the heaven, the sign of the Son of Man. Everybody tell me where Jesus is coming from. He's coming from heaven. He's going to manifest in the sky. Are you offended yet? Do you have faith for that? We got a guy who's telling us, I'm going to come out of heaven. I'm going to come... That's just crazy. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth, all of them are going to mourn. And they'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Everybody on earth is going to see me do this. It won't be a hidden event. It's not like my first coming. Second coming, everybody sees it. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds. This will be a process of him gathering the saved saints out of the earth. Are you one of those? Are you one that the angels will collect on the coming of the Son of Man? This is the call of the gospel. Are you one that's already received and been born again and come in the kingdom of God, and you have confidence today? Today, you know, the angels will collect me. They will bring me into His kingdom. Two more passages. 2 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 10. Therefore, we ourselves want you to know in the church the steadfastness of faith and the persecutions, afflictions you're enduring. This is evidence, actually, of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. Everybody watch, verse 6. Since indeed God considers it just to repay affliction to those who afflict you and to grant relief to those who are afflicted as well to us, when the Lord Jesus, verse 7, is revealed from heaven and His mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on who? On those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Verse 8 is a motivation for me to do discipleship. Does everybody see it there? Discipleship is training people to obey Jesus. Jesus is going to come with angels and flames of fire, and everyone that was ambivalent about Him and will not obey, He's going to inflict vengeance upon them. I wonder what 300 people are thinking sometimes. It's probably a lot of thoughts. Just take a moment. Sam, you spitting, zealous, wild animal. There's some of you going, amen, this is the truth, finally. There's some of you going, this is too harsh. It's going to hurt people's feelings. I know. And I just want to say this. I want to be a faithful witness. And as a faithful witness, I have to tell you who Jesus is. Jesus is the rightful king of the planet who will fully execute judgment against those who will not receive Him. You and I have been mandated with Matthew 24, 14. Do you remember that? In the middle of the prophecy. This gospel of the kingdom must be proclaimed to all nations as a witness to them. And then what will happen, everybody? The end will come. When does the end come? The end comes after you and I make a clear presentation of the gospel of the kingdom to every nation on planet earth. Listen, our God is a good God. Our King is a good King. He wants every tribe and nation to have the opportunity to bow before the kingdom invasion of planet earth. Does everybody know that? He's a good God. And so we go to places in Africa and Asia, and we translate scriptures, and we go fast, 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 because really what we're doing is we're trying to get planet Earth ready for the greatest global event that's ever happened in human history. And I want to say it again. Your Bible prophesies that a Jewish king who's a God-man, who died and rose again and ascended, is in heaven. He's bodily in heaven now, waiting for the moment to come through the skies with angels and fire to release His full righteous justice upon planet Earth. He's going to harvest out all of us that are with Him. If you're with Jesus, say amen. We're going to fly, not die. We want to proclaim to everyone. This isn't an option for you as a religion. This is a reality. We are prophesiers, everybody. We're ambassadors from a country. It's like the guy, ambassador from England, going across the street to Obama and saying, we're coming. We're coming and we're going to take over. How does that go, you think? The guy, the ambassador from Iraq says, we're coming to take over. Bow your knee. How's that go over? This is what we're doing. I don't know if you know what you're doing. We're saying to planet Earth, ambassadors, that's the fullness of it. Ambassadors, we're saying, there's a good king coming, full of authority, get ready. The earth is not the way that it will be. And I understand this, and I want to swing the sledgehammer with this one more reality. Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, remember? So it will become, it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. People will be drinking and making merry. That's what they'll be doing. They'll be drinking and making merriment. And they will be caught off guard by an event that has never happened in human history. Does everybody know when Noah's flood came, it had never rained on planet Earth before? Everybody knows that, say amen. It had never rained on planet Earth for 1,665 years. Never. Never a storm cloud. God says, I'm going to release rain from the heaven, an event you've never seen, build a boat. Noah has to build it for 100 years. 100 years a boat. It had never happened again. It had never, ever rained before. Everybody listen to me. As you know, and this is obvious, it has never happened before that we've had a one world ruler. It's never happened before that a man has come with angels and fire and broke into the atmosphere and began to take the nations by force. Has that ever happened? Did I miss that in the history books? Never. I'm proclaiming something I've never seen. We are a Noah generation. Or are you? Are you Noah? Are you Noah and his sons who obey and build and get ready for a global event? Or are you those that give yourself to, that's ridiculous, it's never rained before, I'm going to eat, and I'm going to party, and I'm going to live this life? Who are you? Who are you? Because this is where we are. And if this is sober, I'm glad. I want you to be sober. We're not dilly-daddling around here. This is a real king who's really coming. And this event has never happened before. And many will say to you, it's never rained before. It's never happened. You got to decide what you believe. You got to decide what you believe. This is the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the gospel of the kingdom is there's a king who's taking over everything. And he's a good king. This morning, are you right with this king? I need to know. You need to know. The only ones that endure with his kingdom through eternity, that don't get execution, listen, are those that have believed upon Jesus, his atoning work to pay for your sins, and receive the king's spirit inside their life, eternal life. That's who endures through. Are you good? Are you good this morning? Do you have confidence? And I would imagine my question is irrelevant to you if you do not believe the event that I'm talking about. We'll just keep praying. Did you hear what I said? I bet my question is seen as an emotional plea and manipulation if you do not believe the greatest proclamation of the Bible, which is a global event by a Jewish man to set up a global kingdom. I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He's coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is going to set it right. This planet ought to be full of love, life, and peace right now. And we are the ambassadors in a foreign land that are saying, repent, turn. It is time. He's soon upon us. We're not packaging the gospel so people can be healthy, wealthy, and have the American dream. That's a lie. I'm sorry about it. I'm sorry, it's demon spirits. Oh my, I'm worked up. It's demon spirits that are preaching that. We are preaching Jesus is coming. Come and get right with him. He loves you. You can rule and reign with him forever. But you must decide, do you believe? Do you believe? Forget Sunday morning junk, up, down. I put on my clothes and I go home. Sorry about that. We're preaching global takeover. That's what we're doing. I'm preaching global invasion by the Jewish king who's a God-man. That's what I'm preaching. I want to preach it in Ghana. I want to preach it in India. I want to preach it in El Dorado. And I want to tell the truth. Jesus is coming back to rule and to reign. And human beings must respond to this. You get to respond to this. I have good news for you. Let's all stand. I don't know. Look at the time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that the sobriety and the clarity, the intensity of this word would break through to your people. And we knew this week, and I know now, that soul excitement and zeal will not release spiritual revelation. So we're asking, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you break in on human beings this morning? Would you break in on sons and daughters of God? Those that are not saved in this room, Lord, let conviction fall upon them like they've never had in their whole life. A gospel that gets them right with the rightful king of the planet. Praise God for your atonement. Let people be born again and saved. Empower us to go forth with this message and to call cities to repent quickly and to receive the good news of the gospel of grace. Lord, let evangelism explode out of this body, centered in the glory and the authority of King Jesus. And then, Lord, I pray, lastly, for those that are in this room that have fallen asleep, who've got casual about the intensity of who you are and what you're going to do, I pray you awaken us. Awaken us, O King Jesus. We just talked about the most important thing and prophecy on the planet today. I just love you. I deeply, Father God, I just pray. I pray you have mercy on us and let revelation break through to us and take us beyond where we've been. Break lukewarmness. Break lackadaisical living. Lord, we pray you break in to us with revelation about the coming King. King Jesus, we love you. Seated at the right hand of majesty, we agree. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. I pray for fire and zeal in people's hearts that would take us to a new place in prayer, preaching, ministry, financial living, marriage, everything. Let us be fueled with this vision of the coming King who is good, but is full of zeal and wrath. Well, we love you. We thank you. We commit our hearts to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.